Welcome to Let's Talk Wellness, where we will be sharing insights into the world of mental health and wellness as we explore traditional medicine and holistic healing options. It's time to have new conversations about mental health. Join Mara James, the founder and CEO of the Hugs for Life Healing Center, as she guides us along this journey. And now, let's talk wellness.
Welcome to Let's Talk Wellness. I am your host, Mara James, and I want to say thank you for joining us for today's conversation. On Let's Talk Wellness, we're devoted to supporting mental health awareness and providing resources for children and their families. As the founder of the Extraordinary Lives Foundation, I have the great joy of collaborating with a team of amazing people to help bring children and families healing around the world. You can find out all of our information at elfempowers.org, and you can find this link in the show information. Now, let's talk wellness with today's guest, Erin Vandermoor. Erin is a mental health therapist, mom of two, and lives in North Carolina. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, I'm excited to have you all across the country.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So tell us a little bit about your past and when you knew that you wanted to get into the mental health field.
Well, I don't know about you, but like a lot of people, high school was a little bit of a rough patch for me. And I had wished I had somebody to speak to. And so that got me thinking about mental health and possibly going into the counseling field. And so I ended up getting my master's in counseling. And originally I started working in schools for Chicago Public Schools. Then I realized I only have the kiddos for a couple hours a day and then they go home. And so I'm not having as much impact as I would like. So I ended up then working with families. And then I realized a lot of families were dealing with a lot of trauma. And then I got certified in EMDR so that I could work with trauma with some of the parents. So it's kind of been a path.
Right. And definitely a lot of us, especially in the mental health field, get into it because, you know, either we or someone in our family or our good friends had some, you know, experiences with it. And when you were in the Chicago schools, what grade or age students were you working with?
Well, I worked in a high school for a couple of years and then eventually I transitioned through K through eighth grade. Okay. In Chicago, the they don't really have a middle school. So kindergarten through eighth grade is all in one building.
Ooh, interesting.
And
it was a public school.
Yes, it was a public school. So you very much had to be on your toes. One moment you're sitting there and you're on the floor talking to a little one about big feelings. And the next thing you know, you're talking to an eighth grader about conflict resolution and why it's not a good idea to scream at the teacher.
Right. Wow. And you were the school psychologist back then?
I was the school counselor.
The counselor. Okay. And what is the difference of a counselor and a psychologist? Sorry.
No, that's an awesome question. A lot of people don't always know. So a school psychologist generally is only at a school for maybe a day a week, at least in Chicago. And they mostly work with the kiddos who receive special education. So they will have an IEP, an individualized education plan that gives them access to the school psychologist and or the social worker. Me as the school counselor, I can see everybody. So I get to see all the students and generally I'm there all 5 days.
Oh, beautiful. And so like a lot of children, I know my middle son had an IEP, but a lot of his friends that had anxiety and depression didn't have an IEP, so they wouldn't have access to the psychologist, but I guess they'd have access to the counselor.
Yes.
Wow. And so it'd be interesting, obviously you're not doing that now, you know, discussing the, what were you seeing then and then what you're seeing post-COVID, but I guess that's not relevant. And then, so you transitioned that to working with families, and was that in the school setting or what kind of setting was that in?
So I worked at a behavioral hospital for about a year. It was called Heartgrove. And then I worked in a community support center.
Okay. So, and
I pretty much worked in like every area within therapy you can think of.
That's amazing. And with the schools work and with the facility and send their students'
Yes.
families over?
Yes, that's actually how I found out about one of the positions. We would refer kiddos out to some of the outpatient programs. When the psychiatrist there was looking for therapists to work with families and kiddos, and so I actually ended up transitioning over to them.
Beautiful. So how does that work? Because I know like in elementary school, the school, if they see an issue with a child, they're not allowed to say anything to the parents because then they're responsible to pay for it. You know, there's ADD or whatever, you know. So how did that work in the older grades and then like to refer to you?
Well, so I am very type A, and I wanted to make sure that every kiddo in whatever school I was working with knew who I was, saw my face, and knew I was a counselor. Whether or not I always had the time to meet with them, but I wanted them to know that I was there in case of. So I would go into the classroom and teach social emotional learning curriculum as an entire classroom. And then as I got to know the kiddos better, and teachers would identify kids who maybe might benefit from working one-on-one with me or in a group, I could then send a letter home to the parent as the school counselor, just offering my services if they would like. I'm not diagnosis. I'm not giving them a diagnosis. I'm not identifying them as anything other than saying, hey, here's this service. I would love to give your kiddo an hour of, say, social work group class or anger coping class 1 hour a week.
And
And
how
then the
were the
parent would
parents?
sign off.
Right, that's amazing. Were the parents ever offended by that, or were they grateful, or combo the two?
A combo. The first year course in a school, I had to establish myself, do a lot of after school meet and greets with the parents in the community so that they knew who I was and that I was there to be helpful, not to judge.
Yeah, I love
So,
that. That's really important, right? Not judging.
yes, absolutely.
So get back. You said you taught social emotional learning. So was that, how did that work? Did you go into a class that was already there? Was it a period that the school added? Because I know a lot of schools don't have that, and hopefully they're all looking to add it.
I was fortunate enough that in two of the elementary schools I worked in, I had principals who believed in social emotional learning. So they would allow me to go into a classroom, say K through third or the middle school, once a week on a Monday or a Tuesday, and then teach social emotional learning skills that I then could coordinate with the teacher that could relate to either an English curriculum, or they could talk about a social studies thing. We always found a way to tie in the social emotional learning curriculum into whatever period I was taking from, so that not only did it help the teacher to have that time, but it also showed the kiddos I was working with that there's real world application to this. It's not just by itself.
That is amazing. So you said that was K through three.
K through three, I would do like on Mondays, and then I would do a Tuesday with fourth through fifth, and then I would do the middle school, the upper grades, on like a Wednesday or a Thursday. I would always rotate.
Right. So then with the upper grade, so you would coordinate with one of the specialist teachers to go into their class.
Yeah, I worked hand in hand with a lot of the eighth grade teachers, especially since in Chicago, they're applying to get into magnet high school. So I was already in eighth grade quite a bit, helping the students with applications and looking at all the variety of possibilities for high schools for them.
Right.
So
And the schools that you're working at, were they lower income or just a regular?
no, they were low income. The first school I worked at had three homeless shelters that fed our school. So we had the
Wow.
highest population of homeless students.
Wow.
It was
And
heartbreaking, honestly.
how were the other students? What, like, did they know who the homeless, you know, students were, and were they nice to them?
They would have a sense because there would always be a group that would walk from certain areas together. So eventually the other kiddos would catch on. And I have to tell you, children can be so sweet and so understanding. I mean, they were so nice and kind. They just
Wow,
were.
because I thought you were going to say children can be really mean too, right? Because
They can, but it's something about knowing that it's out of the kid's control and that this is their circumstance, that it's not like a personal beef or looking at somebody funny. They saw these group of kids walking from the shelter, and for whatever reason, McCutcheon had wonderful kiddos who really had empathy and understood how difficult that must be.
wow, how amazing. I mean, having empathy and compassion for, our fellow
Oh,
students
I know.
versus judgment and bullying and all that yucky stuff, right?
Yeah, there's some really sweet kiddos in Chicago. There really are.
Oh, well, Chicago, I used to live there. Great Italian food.
Oh, wonderful. I miss it.
Right. And so you said you were telling me when we first spoke that you had like 1,200 students that you were responsible for.
I did, yes. The last school I worked on, the South Side, I was a part of the group of schools where like 50 schools got closed in Chicago. And so one of the neighboring schools got closed, and their entire population came to our school. So we went from like 700 to 1200.
Wow, you must have
It
been
was a
over.
lot.
Yeah, and were you the only school counselor?
Counselor, yes. Yeah, I was the only one.
Wow. And what were like the top areas of concern that you saw?
There were a lot of kiddos who, for whatever reason, would feel that this was it for them, that they weren't going to ever leave Chicago, that they were just going to work in the same neighborhood, do the same thing as their parents, as their grandparents. And so they very much would stifle themselves. And so a lot of times we would talk about all the possibilities, how much bigger Chicago is. My principal was really good about getting field trips and inviting people in from the community to talk about all the opportunities that are out there in the world so that they could see that they could achieve way more than just what was in their block.
That's so beautiful, right? Because we could, as we could limit ourselves with our conscious and subconscious
Absolutely.
mind, like this is it, or the sky's the limit. Wow, how beautiful.
Absolutely.
And then you went into hospitals, and then you went, and then at some point you moved from Chicago to North Carolina.
Asheville, North Carolina, yeah.
And when was that transition?
I moved it here in about 2016.
Okay.
My son was about to start kindergarten and he was dyslexic. And as wonderful as the Chicago Public School that I was in the neighborhood in was, they still had a classroom of like 27 kiddos. And I
Wow.
just knew he needed a smaller classroom. And so we just started kind of looking. We went on road trips on the weekend and found Asheville, and we were very fortunate to find another public school that I loved, and he was in a classroom of 12.
In a public school classroom of 12, kindergarten, you said?
Yes, 12,
Wow.
public school, I know.
Wow. And how is your son doing with his I mean, it's a gift and a challenge, of course. How is he doing with that
He's
now?
in the gifted program. He's 12 now. He's doing excellent. Nobody would know that he was dyslexic. Nobody would know he was a preemie. I mean, he was only 3 pounds when he was born, and he's the tallest in his class. So,
Oh, how funny. Isn't that amazing? Wow. And then you started your own practice. When was that?
I did. I was doing part-time my own practice for a while. And then it took about 2 years for me to transfer my license from Illinois to North Carolina, because for whatever reason, North Carolina requires a lot of extra paperwork. So it took a bit.
Interesting.
And then I started my private practice, and now I mainly specialize in a type of trauma therapy called EMDR.
Yeah, I can't wait to discuss that. That's one of my favorite treatments. We'll save that towards
Oh,
the
I love
end.
it.
And you're licensed in how many states now?
Oh, let's see. I'm licensed in Illinois, Virginia, North Carolina, and Alabama. I had a thing.
Wow. So are you able now in our new virtual world to work with clients in those four states? How beautiful.
I had some clients I was working with in Chicago, and we wanted to keep working when I left. So I kept my license for that. And then I lived in DC for a bit and had some clients in Virginia. And then I had clients who moved. And when they moved, if I could get a license in the state, I would.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. So let's talk a little bit about this EMDR that tell our friends watching and listening what that stands for, what it's used, and all about it.
Okay, so I'm going to take a breath and be kind to myself because I also have dyslexia and sometimes my words fail me. So I'm going to try this. Eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. Yay, I got it.
Okay.
EMDR is based on what neuroscience says we do when we're sleeping during REM sleep to process everything from that day. So the feelings, the thoughts, the emotions, what you said, what someone said to you, what you picked up subconsciously, and to take all of that at night during REM sleep and kind of like file it away, like a computer would file it away. And then that way, over time, you can kind of desensitize, make big emotions smaller. And hold on to the things that are important and kind of let go of the things that don't really need to stick around. Our body and brain is just, it's incredible what it can do for us. So EMDR is based on that because we have moments in time that get stuck where we're like, I always remember this, I feel this. I get brought back to that memory and I can smell a smell and all of a sudden I'm back to what happened. Well, EMDR takes those moments and we target them and we use what we do during REM sleep, the bilateral stimulations, so the left, right, and we use that to our advantage to kind of like jumpstart your brain with those moments to get reprocessed. Does that
Wow.
make
So
sense?
yeah. So when we
Okay.
go into so our eyes when we're in REM sleep go back and forth, correct?
They go back and forth, and we also twitch left, right. Some people
Okay.
will twitch so much that they wake themselves up.
Oh, fun. I never knew that. And is that only happen in REM sleep?
Yes.
So what happens if somebody doesn't get into a deep REM sleep?
The stuff doesn't get as well processed. And that's why there's a big correlation between those who have gone through traumatic events and having really poor sleep. Because they'll start to get into REM sleep, and those memories and thoughts will pop up, and they're coded as not to get processed. So the REM sleep gets interrupted. So it's like you're sleeping and you're starting to process, and your brain goes, no, not that one. And it gets interrupted. And then you start to process, and then your brain goes, no, not that one either. You can't process that. And it interrupts the REM sleep. And so people with trauma do have difficulty sleeping.
Oh, interesting. So EMDR will help them sleep or get into REM sleep? Amazing. And so what type of traumas is EMDR good for?
Oh my goodness, everything. When it first was developed in the 80s, everybody just would use it for big traumas. But anything that overwhelms your nervous system, where you go into fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. That can absolutely be processed through EMDR because what's traumatic to a 2-year-old is very different than what's traumatic to a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old or a 50-year-old. So if you can recall a feeling like it was yesterday or a memory like it was yesterday, that tells me it got coded as traumatic and we can get that reprocessed.
So a young child, 6-year-old, has to go on a school bus and they just have so much anxiety. That's something you can work with.
Absolutely.
So
Because
now,
you store that in your muscles, in your feelings, you internalize it. So we can absolutely go at it and make it feel smaller.
wow. And I've actually had EMDR done over Zoom where the therapist was going back and forth with her fingers. And I've also heard about something that you could hold on to something when they're talking
The
about it.
tappers.
Yeah, so can you share with the difference of the two?
So the eye movement is just the standard protocol that Dr. Shapiro, the one who created it, started with. But she actually worked with neuroscience and learned that the twitching also is involved. And so she helped develop some of these, what we call tappers. And so what they do is they're like little instruments you hold in your hand, kind of like a controller for a Game Boy or something like that. And what they do is they vibrate back and forth, left and right, to imitate that right and left of your brain during REM sleep.
Okay.
And so as
Wow.
long as you're getting left, right brain bilateral stimulation, you're good to go.
Could somebody like there's this is this I've seen
Yes, the
people
butterfly tapping is the
yeah.
same principle of bilateral stimulation.
Amazing. We are going to take a brief break and we're going to come back and hear so much more goodness about the EMDR. So stay tuned, everyone.
In these shifting and changing times, more and more lives are being impacted by mental health. The Extraordinary Lives Foundation, also known as ELF, is transforming the way people view and navigate mental health challenges. Their mission is to improve children's mental health and wellness and support families by providing educational tools, resources, and awareness events. ELF encourages families to recognize symptoms, overcome the stigma, and reach out for help. Through prevention, early intervention, and holistic treatment, we believe many of the big problems facing today's youth can be transformed within a generation. Extraordinary Lives Foundation is excited to offer the Hugs for Life Healing Center, growing a worldwide network of approved holistic healers and bridging the gap between traditional and complementary healing options. Visit the Extraordinary Lives Foundation website at www.elfempowers.org to find out more about their resources and events. Together, we can change the conversation around mental health. We hope that you're enjoying today's Let's Talk Wellness podcast. And if you have a topic that you would like us to explore, we would love to hear from you. Simply email us at info@elfempowers.org. That's info@elfempowers.org. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Wellness. I'm your host, Mara James, and today we're speaking with our guest, Erin Vandermoor, a mental health therapist, mom of two who lives in North Carolina. Welcome back, Erin.
Thank you.
So this is so interesting because when you're talking about the doctor before, you said Dr. Shapiro, and I just got the biggest pain in my jaw. It was, oh my goodness, like that clenching. So I think that you'll be open to this. And I've done EMDR, but apparently not enough. So one of my big traumas, and I hopefully don't, whatever, if I need to get into the details or not, is from my dad, who I dealt with the word Morton, the name Morton, but I haven't heard the name Dr. Shapiro for a while. He passed away 2 years ago at 99 and a half years old. I worked on a lot of forgiveness. I've forgiven him. Didn't tell him that. I didn't need to, but anyway, so how would you feel about not only treating me, but showing our friends how EMDR works? Because I'd love this pain to go away.
Absolutely, of course. It sounds like it's still in the muscle memory.
Yeah.
And so we need to target that. So
a
I'm game if
clenching.
you
Oh,
are.
let's do it. Okay, what do I need to
Let's
do?
take a nice slow deep breath and close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to just notice the feeling that came up when I said the word Dr. Shapiro. I want you to notice how it felt in your body, any thoughts that came to mind, memories. And then open your eyes and follow along. And close your eyes and take a nice slow deep breath. And then give yourself a moment to notice whatever comes to mind. Be a memory, a feeling, a sensation. There's no right or wrong. And just share whatever you're comfortable with.
So of course, as you started doing it, I was like, wait, what am I supposed to think about? What am I, and I'm like, stop it, just follow her fingers. And what came to my mind was like anger, and I'm clenching my teeth because I'm really angry. I can't say it all went away, but I feel like a lightness that came over me, and I feel like the pain dissipated.
Okay, well, let's notice that. Let's notice the anger. Recognize it, validate it, notice how it shows up in your body. Close your eyes for a moment and take a nice, slow, deep breath. And again, just validate that anger. Notice where it shows up in the body. And again, follow along. And close your eyes and take a slow deep breath. And again, just give yourself a moment to notice whatever comes to you and share whatever you're comfortable with.
It was interesting. A pain went from my right to my left side. And the cursed, it was kind of like F you, dad. Like it was
Oh, okay.
some intense anger there. Ooh. Excuse
Sounds
me.
like you. It sounds like verbally you needed to get that out, and the clenching the jaw, it's that stopping yourself.
Yeah.
And so anything you can do to express it, journal, scream it out loud later, would be really good for you before you go to sleep tonight, just so that you validate and give yourself permission, right? Because a lot of times we tell ourselves, oh no, it's no big deal. It happened in the past. I can let it go. Don't do that. Don't dismiss yourself.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like journal, I've done a lot of journaling for this one. I feel like, especially no one's home now, like when we're done with this, a loud scream is like that energy needs to get
Absolutely.
out. You know?
It sounds like it's trapped, so let's get it out.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's mouth. I don't feel like it's punching a pillow or anything. I feel maybe I, just like a really, maybe I'll stick my head in a pillow and just do a loud scream.
I think a loud scream sounds lovely. Let's just one more time. Let's just take a breath and close our eyes for a moment and notice that you are going to validate that verbal scream, that internal voice that you need to use to get that anger out, that is valid and that's okay. And follow along. And close your eyes and take a nice, slow, deep breath. How are you feeling?
Pain is gone, and I feel like my little girl, who I've done a lot of work with, is like, thank you, mommy, for like it's,
Oh.
yeah, it's like so, it's beautiful and sad, and just, yeah, thank you so much for that. Wow, I know
Thank
it's.
you for allowing me to do that. This is hard stuff. And so I appreciate the courage and the vulnerability it takes to do this with a therapist you've never met.
Yeah, no, it's. I'm all about healing. Anything to do to feel
Yes.
better, it's just we have so many aches and pains in our body and their messages and looking at them as messages. What is it telling me? And then let's get rid of it. Let's release it. We don't have to hold it. And that's what did
Absolutely.
it. I just see so many people suffering, and I always say pain is inevitable. We're all going to experience it. It's part of life. Suffering is optional, and people don't know that, and healing is possible.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with that more. Pain occurs, but we decide what we're going to do with it, what we're going to take from it, and whether we're going to hold on to it or not.
I love that. So now we have lots of friends watching us from probably out of the country as well as different states that you might
Oh.
not be licensed in. Does that mean that they're not able to work with you?
So if they want to use their insurance, then I can't work with them.
Okay.
If they ever want to just do coaching because I'm coaching you and I'm not giving you a diagnosis, then I can do it around the world,
Good
which is the
up.
beauty of coaching.
Yeah.
But there are so many talented EMDR therapists out there. There's a website called EMDRIA, International Association, that has a list of therapists in every state. So I
Beautiful.
highly recommend checking that out.
That is so beautiful. That is great to know. What is how so does it work on how like the Zoom as well? I mean, work great for me, like as opposed to being in person? Is that
Oh, yes, absolutely. I love virtual EMDR because I can meet a person where they are, where they're comfortable, they feel safe in their home. And 9 times out of 10, just them feeling safe in their home
okay.
and then being able to do therapy that way just benefits them and helps them move through it quicker, in my opinion.
Yes, and I love that you said that feeling safe. So many of us that have had some big T's
Absolutely.
feel safe. I mean, I've been healing for 9 years, and it was this year that I can finally feel safe in my own skin. It
Oh,
was
that's
expensive
wonderful.
and long journey, and I hope it doesn't take others as long, but it is possible. And it's like just to be
Absolutely.
calm on every cellular level. Oh my goodness, right? Like so many of us like that don't even remember traumas that we experienced till later on.
Yeah, there's this whole nonverbal piece of trauma. And I'll hear clients say, I've always felt this way, or I've always thought that. And that tells me it's nonverbal, that something occurred before you had critical thinking or complex language to hold on to it. But your brain and body can hold on to the memories and the sensations. So we can absolutely heal from things that maybe we don't recall the specifics of, but we can feel it. There's no
Oh,
reason not to heal.
yeah, amen. I love that. And so tell us the name. It says Age of Uncertainty Coaching.
Yes,
What does that
age of
mean?
uncertainty,
Yeah,
because
what does
things are
that
just
mean?
so weird.
Yeah.
Everything's so uncertain right now.
Oh, interesting. How long ago did that? It's very relative, post-COVID. Did you create that pre or post-COVID?
I did that during COVID. So my private practice is stop and breathe. And then during COVID, I had so many clients who weren't able to meet or they lost their insurance. And so I had to get creative about how to provide services. Get much better using Zoom for EMDR and other ways to interact with clients and not use my license always. So
Yeah.
that's why I created the coaching piece so that I could still help people where they were.
Beautiful. And so is most of your coaching clients, is it like based on trauma or are there other things that you work with?
You know, I get such a wide variety. I generally feel that most people have experienced some type of trauma, whether we call it big T or small T. And after COVID, personally, I just believe we all went through a trauma there. And so there's no reason not to treat it and feel better.
Absolutely. And with the word of uncertainty, oh my goodness, what's going on today with
It is, it's
COVID
so
natural
uncertain.
disasters or wars? And it's to me that it's
Yeah.
going to get worse, not better. And if we can just kind of be kumbaya through it all, which is living in faith and trust and not fear, which is the most beautiful yet most challenging thing,
It is. I'm hoping this is like our dark ages and it's going to get really, really bad. And then we'll have a happy break and then it'll be good and we'll have a renaissance.
Yes. Oh, I
At least
believe.
that's my hope.
Yes. Heaven on earth is coming and we are in the birthing pains for anybody that's ever had a baby or seen a woman in labor. It's not easy. It's very painful without that epidural and even with breathing. But then
Yes.
after you have this beautiful human being that is just like you kind of forget about the pain and you're like, it's heaven on earth. It's that beauty.
It
So
is. It is.
being that knowing that there's a light at the end of the tunnel and having the faith in that and just helping us though, right? Like being secure enough that we can get through it without our bodies going into convulsions, right? Sometimes it takes medication, sometimes it takes treatments like EMDR, sometimes it takes both, whatever it takes to help our mental health and wellness.
Absolutely. I want us all to feel better. So whatever it takes, I say, go make yourself feel better,
Amen.
work on it, figure out what pieces of the puzzle you need that fit you, and then hopefully we can all come through this and have that renaissance together.
Amen. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
They can go to my website, Age of Uncertainty Coaching. com. My email's there, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff.
Okay, we'll list all of that
Oh, thank
in the
you.
show information. Erin, it has been such an honor and a pleasure speaking with you today. And for everyone watching and listening, and to you too, Erin, you are amazing.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Let's Talk Wellness. This podcast has been brought to you by the Hugs for Life Healing Center, a division of the Extraordinary Lives Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. If you would like to listen to more conversations like this, we invite you to subscribe to our mailing list at www.elfempowers.org to be notified when our weekly episodes are published. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to bringing you our next conversation on Let's Talk Wellness.